21. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, Omer. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, and this is a very, very fundamental Mishnah. We've discussed this concept many times. Three of the worst traits that a person should avoid at all costs. Three of the worst things a person should avoid at all costs. Number one, kinah. Kinah means jealousy. Jealousy. Jealousy is one of the worst traits. It can destroy a person. It can destroy a person from inside. A person who's jealous of others. I'm jealous of, he bought a new car, he bought a new house, this guy has got money, this guy's this. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of their clothes, I'm jealous of their wife, I'm jealous of their house. The Torah says, what does the Torah talk about jealousy? Where does the Torah talk about jealousy?
She's not covered.
Thank you. Number 10. Mitzvah number 10, the Ten Commandments. We're just going to say on Shavuot, it's very topical. Shavuot, Ten Commandments. The tenth commandment is, you will not covet your neighbor's
wife,
and house, and property, anything that belongs to the neighbor. So this is a very fundamental trait. This is something which is inborn. Why did God create us with this trait of jealousy? And the answer is, there is a good side to jealousy, and there's a bad side to jealousy. God is telling us to keep away from the bad side of jealousy. Hashem is telling us to keep away from the bad side of jealousy. Bad side of jealousy is a physical jealousy. Jealousy of physical things. A person is not allowed to have jealousy of physical things. However, a person is allowed to have jealousy of spiritual things. In other words, I'm jealous of that person's righteousness. So generous, he's so good, so kind. So there, we should be jealous and work towards attaining the same thing. These are not things you can steal from a person. You can't steal a person's traits, right? All you can do is emulate them. Just because you're smiling, I can't steal your smile, right? I can steal your possessions. The Torah says, don't be jealous of their possessions, because you can steal them. It could bring you to robbery. It could bring you to murder. But you're allowed to be jealous of their good traits. You're allowed to be jealous of the Torah they're teaching, because you can't steal the Torah they're teaching. What you have to do is, you have to teach Torah as well.
Right.
So there's two kinds of jealousy. There's a physical jealousy, which is prohibited. A person's not allowed to have jealousy. So the question is, how does a person control their jealousy? Let's go around the table. How does a person control jealousy? I'm jealous. How do I manage my jealousy? And the answer is?
Learning Torah.
Well, how? Which part of Torah?
I would say gratitude for what
you have. Gratitude for what you have. Excellent. Who is a rich person? A person who is happy what they have. So we've got to learn to be happy with what we have. That's the trouble. So people are not happy with what they have, and they look around the corner and say, oh, I wish I had that, and I wish I had that. This would make me happy. And you know what? Nothing will make them happy. Why? Because happiness is a frame of mind. It's a contentedness inside. And today's society is built to make people unhappy. Why? Because that's how advertising works. If you're not going to be unhappy, you're not going to buy anything. What's going to push you to buy something? I'm not happy with my kitchen. I need a new kitchen. I'm not happy with my car. I need a new car. I'm not happy with my washing machine. I need a washing machine. So the unhappiness makes a person buy things. And you know what happens? Does it make them happy?
No.
It doesn't make us happy, because a person doesn't know how to be happy with what they have. So the opposite of jealousy is to be happy with what you have. Contentedness with what one person has. And the rabbis say, be happy with what you have physically, but don't be happy what you have spiritually. A person should never be happy where they are spiritually. We should always be trying to climb the ladder. The trouble is, it's so hard to keep climbing. It's very hard to keep climbing. But there's also a ma'ala, which is a good trait, just to stay still. To stay still on the ladder. And try and find a level where you're comfortable. You know? We're climbing the ladder of spirituality, and you get to a point where you're comfortable. But it's hard to stay even keeled. That also takes energy. That's what we're trying to do, is stay even keel, to find the right balance in life. And that's what the Rambam says, the golden mean. A person's got to find the golden mean in their lives. I'm working, I'm learning, I'm studying, I'm doing mitzvot, and I'm finding my balance in life. But it's hard to keep it up. That's the trouble. A person's got to struggle to keep it up, to keep up momentum, to keep up there. So Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, number one, kinah, jealousy is a terrible trait. Jealousy is a terrible trait, but the truth is, when a person thinks that God gave them, God is in charge, God has all the capabilities. If God wants to make me a multi-billionaire, he can make multi-billionaire, just like that.
Nope.
Yeah, but there's no rush. Why? Because obviously if God wanted to, he would make me. If God doesn't want to, it's because I don't need it. If I don't need it, God's not going to give me something I don't need. He goes, people don't realize. They think, all the millions are going to bring me happiness. They're not going to bring happiness. You have, who's the richest guy in the world right now? Amazon, Bezos. You know what happened? He got divorced. So the matter, he lost half his wealth in one shot. Yeah, right. So he gave half of it away. So it just shows, what's the use of wealth if you can't be happy in your marriage? What's the use of wealth if you can't be happy with your family? So you find these people, they have a lot of money, but are they happy? So money cannot buy you happiness. So that's the first one, is jealousy is a worthless trait. It's a negative trait that eats a person up and is not productive. It's a non-productive trait. That's why jealousy is such a bad trait. It can burn a person up inside and does not add a single thing quality to them. It can lead to terrible things. It can lead to robbery, it can lead to murder, it can lead to adultery, it can lead to other things. So jealousy is one of the worst traits, as it says, King Solomon says in Mishlei, chapter Yud-Dalet, 14, Urkav atzamot kinam. Jealousy rottens a person's bones, makes their bones rot. What does that mean? Jealousy rots a bone, was in spiritual bones, it is spiritually corrupt. A person becomes spiritually corrupt inside, they're jealous of this one, jealous of that one. It's a negative trait that doesn't lead to anything productive. But jealousy of spiritual things, that could lead to something productive. I want to be like so-and-so. You know, there's a beautiful story. One of the rabbis of Telz, Rabbi Gifter. Have you heard of Rabbi Gifter?
Yes.
Rabbi Gifter was the rabbi of Telz in Cleveland, right? Modern Telz, not the old Telz. And he had, when he was a kid, he had pictures on his wall of this rabbi and that rabbi and this rabbi and that rabbi. And he had one big hole, empty place, and he said over there, "Why not you?" So that was his goal in life. He was jealous. He wants to be a rabbi as well on the picture. Right. So finally he got his place. He got his place on the picture. So that's a very important, the idea of motivating oneself spiritually, not motivating oneself physically. Jealousy is not a motivator. Jealousy is not a good motivator, because jealousy is a destroyer. Destroys a person, can destroy a person. So Belaza Kaparame, Akinna, that's number one. Kinna is jealousy. Jealousy is one of the worst traits. And again, we said it's bad if it's used for bad things, but it's good if it's used for jealousy of good things, for jealousy of righteous behavior, jealousy of good traits. Jealousy of a person who's happy. I want to be happy like this person. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Ta'ava. Oh boy. Ta'ava is desire. And desire, what does it mean desire? Desire is the first thought that comes into a person's head. What makes a person wake up in the morning and get out of bed? Well, what makes a person get out of bed in the morning?
I just think
I have to go to the bathroom. Yitzhara? What kind of yitzhara? We're talking about, a person has a desire to do something. I want a cup of coffee. I need to go to the bathroom. Okay. But that's not really a good idea. Okay. That's when you get old.
Class rabbi.
Pardon?
On Sundays, it's your class rabbi.
It's my class? Oh, that's so nice. Wow.
That's okay. True.
So what makes a person get out of bed in the morning? And the answer is sometimes you get bored. Bed, it's too much. You get the sunshine, it's beautiful outside. You have a desire to go out, desire to wake up. So the desire is the first thing that comes into a person's head. It's called the ratzon. Ratzon is the will of a person. The will of a person is behind everything we do. There's a will, which is a subconscious will. It's amazing how the rabbis knew about the subconscious. The subconscious will of a person. We talked about this many times. Let me give you an example. A person is reading the Shulchan Aruch on Shabbat. He's in the Beit Midrash right here, takes out the Shulchan Aruch, and he's looking up the halakha about something. The rabbi walks in, he says, "Wow," he says, "I'm proud of you. You're learning Torah on Shabbat." He says, "Yeah, Rabbi, I have a question." He says, "What's your question?" "Are you allowed to play chess on Shabbat?" It's okay. So Rabbi says, "Okay." So look it up. So the Ramah says, he says, "The only problem is you may come to smack down the pieces and make a noise. You're allowed to make noises on Shabbat." That's the Ramah. Okay. So I'm allowed to play chess? Goodbye. Okay, I'm going to play chess. So why is he learning Torah? He's not learning Torah because he wants to learn Torah. He's learning Torah to find out if he's allowed to play chess.
Right.
Okay, so you see that what looks like on the surface very good, it could be not coming from a very good source, right?
I think it's still good.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's a lower level. There's different levels, right? A person can say, "You know what? I feel I desire to learn Torah and I'm coming to the Beit Midrash to learn Torah." If a person says, I have a desire to play chess, I'm learning, I'm coming to the Beit Midrash to find out whether I'm allowed to play chess. Which one is higher?
At least he went to the
100%. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's a different level. So everything is guided by our ratzon. Ratzon is what is the subconscious, right? So two people get married. One person gets married because, I'm not saying it's bad, it's very good. And the other guy gets married to have children to serve Hashem. So which one is higher? Obviously the person who gets married for the right reasons. But they're both getting married. You don't know what the reasons are. It doesn't really matter what the reasons are. But the fact is that there's something inside us motivating us. That's the point I want to make. Okay. What is motivating a person? That's the tava, that's the desire that a person has, which is motivating a person. So obviously, again, there's a desire for good, and then desires for bad. So there's two different kinds of desires, and a person's got to use their desire to learn how to harness the desire. A person says, I want chocolate cake. That's my desire, okay? Chocolate cake. I love chocolate cake. I want chocolate cakes. You know what? I'll come to the Kiddush on Shabbat to have the chocolate cake, right? But before the Kiddush, you know what? I'm going to come a bit early and go to prayer as well. And so I'll come, I'll have Kiddush, I'll have chocolate cake.
That's your reward.
That's a reward for so a person's using their desires for the sake of a mitzvah. So that's how we have to, it says that's how we motivate children. How do you motivate children? You give them compensation.
So the guy small things. Learning Shulchan Aruch to play chess is also using his desire for good.
Excellent. Right, that's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is behind every action we have, there's something pushing us, motivating us. So what is the motivator? The motivator is the desire. And the desire could be a desire for a passionate desire for passion or a desire in general. So everything is a tava. But a tava, which we're talking about, is uncontrollable tava. That's the trouble. A desire which is uncontrollable. Some people can't control their passions. You know, most of the crimes today are crimes of passion. It's crimes of passion. They can't control themselves. People can't control themselves. So that, an addict. An addict is a person with a bal tava, a person who can't control their desires. So the Torah here, Rabbi Elazar HaKapara says, be very careful. Number one, of jealousy. Jealousy can consume you. Jealousy can destroy you inside. And number two is tava, which is a desire, a lust, which cannot be controlled. Unfortunately, it affects everyone, because we all have desires. The only thing is we have to know how to control the desires. Person's going to know how to control themselves in a positive way. That's what Judaism does. Judaism says, doesn't say don't eat. It says eat. It says keep kosher and eat. Eat kosher food. And it doesn't say keep away from women. It says get married. It doesn't say, what else? Give me a, it doesn't say don't have children. It says have children. It controls the desire, takes the desire, and moves it in a way which is allowed and healthy. Not allowed, it's healthy. You want to have a good food? Try and keep it for Shabbat. Have the best food for Shabbat. So this way it's channeling the desire to a certain direction. It's channeling our desires in the direction of service of Hashem. That's the key. Take one's desires. A person desires money. My brother right now is raising millions of dollars to build himself a shul in London. So he keeps on bugging me. Send out the email. But I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's desire for money for a good cause. He doesn't want the money for himself. He wants the desire to build a shul. So that's a very good idea. It's a very good thing. So we all have desires. So now the question is, what's the desire for? So a person says, you know, I want to build a big shul. That's a tremendously good desire. A person says, I desire to see Hashem's name great in the world. That's a tremendously good desire. A person says, you know what, I'd like to see Yerushalayim, I want to see the Beit HaMikdash rebuilt. That's a tremendously good desire. But it's desires for physicality. Material desires that can destroy a person. So a person runs after his material desires. You know, I was a rabbi in Vancouver, in Canada, 5 years. And I was the only mohel in the town, in the area. I flew in helicopters, I flew in seaplanes, I've flown all over. So the helicopter is worse, by the way. You're shaking like it shakes you and a noise, oh boy. Anyway, so I did a breed. I go to the breed, there's no father. It was a single mother. Single mother, and there's no grandfather. Two women came to the breed. The mother and the grandmother. So where's the father? No father, single mother. But the Jewish mother. Where's the grandfather? Grandfather had a pharmacy. He had a pharmacy in Vancouver, very successful pharmacy. He was open 7 days a week. 7 days a week. He was open. He worked Shabbat, worked Yom Tov, everything. Every day was open. And he died at the age of 50, heart attack.
Right, boom.
So his wife says, "We're very grateful to him. Why? He left us very comfortable." I said, "But where is he? You're very comfortable about him." So the answer is, he couldn't control his desire for money. So we have to control our desire. So Shabbat comes along. Shabbat tells us, stop. You know, it's interesting. We had over here a great rabbi. One of the greatest rabbis in the world was Rabbi Jacobowitz. He was the chief rabbi of England. And we had the honor, I don't know how this shul had the honor, really the big privilege of the last speech he ever gave in his life. It's wild. Who would ever think about that? He was here in the social hall next door. He came.
Packed room, I remember.
You remember? And what was his topic? His topic was, you remember? Cloning. His topic was cloning. Because he is an expert on medical ethics. He wrote a first book on Jewish medical ethics. And his topic was cloning. But he was going slightly off topic. You know, rabbis get it like off topic. So he was talking about intermarriage. And then he was talking about Shabbat. And then he's talking about this. I said, we looked at my friend over here. Remember, what's going on? This rabbi is off topic completely. Where's the cloning?
It's all collective.
So he's talking about Shabbat. Shabbat, Shabbat. What's going on? He's off topic. Then he says something which amazed everyone. This one, just this line, woke us all up and said, wow, what an idea. Think about this. What do we celebrate on Shabbat? What do we celebrate on Shabbat?
Creation of the world.
The what? The rest of Hashem. What does it mean, rest of Hashem? We're celebrating, not creation, we're celebrating, not creating.
Right, not creating, right.
We're celebrating, not creating. We should be celebrating Sunday, creation of the world. We should be celebrating on Friday. You know, it's interesting, Sunday, the Christians celebrate, creation of the world. Friday, the Muslims celebrate, creation of man. What are we celebrating? Nothing. We're not celebrating. We're not celebrating the creation, we're celebrating stopping creation. So what does that mean? He says, why? You're not the creator if you're not in control of your creation. You can't be a creator if you're not in control. How do you show control of your creation? By being able to stop. How do you show control of your car? If you can brake. If you can't brake, you're not in control of the car. So it's the stopping, it's the braking, it's the stopping which is showing control. So that tied in very well to his topic of cloning. If science cannot control themselves, they're not in control of science. Frankenstein. Frankenstein, you create a monster, and it's not, you're not in control of the monster. It's a danger. It's complete danger. So that's his point. His point is, we Jews celebrate. It's amazing. We don't celebrate creation. We celebrate lack of creation. We celebrate Hashem stopping creating. We have to learn how to be the masters of our destiny. How? By learning how to stop what we're doing. Doing something, everyone's doing, the whole world is doing. But no one is stopping. They don't know how to stop. We have to know how to stop. And that is called self-control, and that is called structure. And that's what we need in our lives. A person's got to know how to say, no, I'm not going to do drugs. No, I'm not going to be alcoholic. No, I'm not going to do this. And no, I'm not going to create. I'm stopping. I know when to stop. I know when to stop my work. I know there's a day off, I got to stop. That's it, Shabbat. So Shabbat is the big, important idea. The important idea of knowing how to control one's desires, basically. My desire for money, 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 7 days a week, 24/7, work, rat race. Stop. Shabbat comes along, stop. Learn how to stop. And that stops a person's desire. So it's very important to know, and that's a very important idea of Shabbat. Shabbat is a very important idea, it's a radical idea. It's a revolutionary idea to know how to stop. A person's got to learn how to stop. And that is how to break one's own desires. How do you break your desires? And the answer is, we don't break the desire. We don't want you to break your desire. We want you to harness it and move it in the right direction. That's what we have to do. And that's what education is all about. Education is directing the child. How to direct the child? The child has a passion. He's good at gifted in a certain area. Take the child and direct the child. And that's why David HaMelech compares a child to an arrow. Kechitzim biyad gibor. Like arrows in the hands of the mighty warrior. Kach banei anirim. So too are the children of one's youth. What do you do with an arrow? You aim the arrow. If you don't aim the arrow properly, it's going to go. People don't know how to aim arrows. That's the trouble. We don't know how to aim our children in the right direction. We have to aim our children in the right trajectory. And this way they'll travel for many miles after you've left them, after they've left you. Right? So it's all about aiming and harnessing, and therefore a person's got to learn how to harness their desires, the tava. It's like, the rabbis compare it like a cowboy, can you imagine? And that's the trouble with teenagers, they don't know how to harness the system. Why? Because all of a sudden they learn, the hormones kick in, they have all sorts of passions and this and that work in, and they have no idea what's going on. It's crazy, because you don't know what's going on. The teen years are wild years, because you don't know what's going on, you don't know how to harness the system. Your system is changing. Before I was a kid, now my voice changed. For men, completely. Testosterone pushes in. Boy, it's a crazy mess. And so therefore, without the Torah, we're lost. There's no mechanism by which to harness the desires. We have to harness the desires. So we're going to see the Mishnah says, Perkei Avot, Ben Shmonai Tzvei Lechupah, 18 years old, you're married already. So that's the way to harness the system. So we have to harness our desires. So marriage is one of the best vehicles we have. Baruch Hashem for marriage. Thank God for marriage. And thank God for children. So this way you're harnessing your desires in a good area, building up the world in a kosher way. It's a very, very important system. So, same thing with food. The Torah says, you know, in those days, today it's too easy. To eat meat is too easy in those days. Today, in those days, you want to eat meat, well, you know what to do? First you have to get a cow. Or you get a sheep. And then you have to go take the cow to the shochet. And then the shochet slits it. And then you have to go and learn how to take off the skin. And then you have to kosher. Balagan. You know what that means? Balagan means it's not worth the hassle. Right. A lot of people do not eat meat. You know why? It's just such a hassle. It's a big hassle to have meat. And then you got to separate it. You got to make sure it's kosher. If it's not kosher, you got to throw the whole thing out. Right. Give it to the ducks. We're going to do it. It's worth a lot of money. So it was a big thing that today it's too easy. Today you go to the store and you buy meat. It's too easy. Makes it life too easy. Just good thing it's expensive. Otherwise, we buy meat every day. But it's not meant to be eaten every day. That's the whole idea. The whole idea that is Hashem is telling you don't have meat every day because I'm going to make it hard for you to eat meat. I'm going to make you salted and roasted. The whole process. Why does it have to be a process? Just eat it like that. No, you're not allowed to. Jews not allowed to. Again, control your desires. I need to have meat. First, you got to get the cow. Then you got to take to the shochet. Then you got to do this. Always, it's dragging it out so that every step of the way, it's control, 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 control. By the time you get to the point, I'm not hungry anymore. That's the idea. Today it's too easy. Today you have restaurants, the meal, they're ready. Everything's ready for you. You just walk in and pay the money. You got it. It's too easy. It's too easy.
Do we look up to vegetarianism?
I didn't say that. I just said you shouldn't have meat every day. You shouldn't have meat every day. And why? Because the Torah says explicitly in the Parshat Re'eh, when you desire meat and you have the means, when Hashem gives you, widens your spaces, when it gives you money, meat is not something for everyone. Meat is something if you can afford it.
Shabbos.
It's for special occasions. Shabbat, Yom Tov, special occasions. So you have desires, channel desires. I'll have meat, so I'll save my meat for Shavuot. I'll save my meat for Yom Tov. That's the way a person should think. It's not to have meat every day. These things, that's why a person's got to have boundaries. A person's got to have their own boundaries. It's kosher, it's fine, you can have it. But have it, everything in moderation. Everything's allowed in moderation. And that's the famous Ramban. Ramban says, Kedoshim to you, be holy. What do you be holy? Everything in moderation. Even when it's allowed, have everything in moderation. So how that harnesses the person's desire. The rabbis compare the harnessing one's desire to a cowboy. Imagine. You ever seen a cowboy break a horse? It's wild, very wild. The horse is bucking. The wild horses, they get a wild horse. And now you got to break the horse. How do you break the horse? You don't break it. You break it to make it acknowledge there's a master. The horse has to realize there's a master. Same thing, we have a horse inside us. We have a wild horse inside us, and we have to learn how to harness that horse. That horse is the Yetzirah. That Yetzirah is pulling us in. And desire, passion, jealousy, all these things come from the Yetzirah. We have to learn how to harness that Yetzirah and catch it and say, listen, I'm going to control you. I'm in control right now. The brain has got to be controlled, the emotions and the desires. So we have to control ourselves, and that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Control one's desire, control one's jealousy. Number three. What's the third one? Kavod. Oh boy, kavod is the worst. Ego. Ego is the worst because ego is something which nothing can satisfy. So desires, a person can satisfy the desire. They just do it. Okay. Jealousy, it's really hard to satisfy, but say a person now achieved a certain level of financial wealth and there's no one to be jealous of. Because he's got more than everyone else. So even jealousy, sometimes you can pacify the jealousy. But ego, you can never pacify. Ego can never be pacified. Ego is a person who has everything. He has money, he has wealth, he has this and that. What does he want? Honor. Honor is not something physical you can give the person. Here, take some honor, have some honor today. No, that doesn't work like that. There's nothing physical you give the person. It's all perspective. It's all perspective. Do I have honor? Do I not have honor? It's all perspectives. So a person runs after honor. You know the Gemara says, if you run after honor, it runs away from you. It runs away from you. The more you want honor, the more the honor runs away. It's not something you can give a person. It's not something tangible. Who were the people in the world who wanted honor? Who were the people in the world? Korach. Korach. What happened to Korach? The earth swallowed them up. Okay. Because there's nothing you can do. Honor. The only one who deserves honor is Hashem. Hashem is the one we give honor to. That's it. But people, you know, Korach. Who else? Korach. Haman. Haman says he was the richest man in the world, apart from Ahasuerus. Number two to the king. He had wealth, no end of wealth. And well, you know what he says? He says, Kol ze enenu shaveli. Whatever I have is worth nothing when I see Mordechai the Jew doesn't bow down to me. Because when he doesn't bow down, I don't get his honor. One person. I want everyone to bow down to me. I want everyone to acknowledge me as the best, as the top. If one person will not acknowledge me, whatever I have is zero. Imagine, what a madman. He's a madman. Person that's honor gets to them, they go crazy. This guy didn't say hello to me today. It ruined my day, you know that? This guy didn't stand up for me. I ruined my day. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. What did he do to you? Nothing. Just to give you honor, so what? That's why a person should always think, I don't deserve honor. Who am I to deserve honor? What am I? It's zero, right? It's amazing how you see Abraham Avinu says, Anochi afar va'efer. I'm dust and ashes, Abraham Avinu says. Well, I need honor. You need honor. Who's going to give me honor? I'm dust. I'm made out of dust. David Amelah says, Aniri mavetola. I'm a worm. What am I? I'm zero. So honor is like the worst thing. Why? We see all these people. The worst part, the worst story is the story of Yeravam ben Nevat. Who is Yeravam ben Nevat? Who is Yeravam ben Nevat? Anyone? Huh? Very good. Which number? Which number? God. He was the first. He was the first. Okay, let's talk about the kings of Israel. King Saul. King Saul. Very sad story. King Saul was the most humble person. It says he was head and shoulders above everyone else. He was the tallest guy, the strongest guy, the most handsome guy you ever saw. And he didn't want to be the king. It says when Shmuel says you're going to be the king, you know what he was? He went and hid himself behind the pots and pans. Couldn't find him. He was humble. That's what Hashem liked. David HaMelech, very humble. He's a shepherd. Very humble.
Of course,
his son Shlomo,
when Shaul was king, he suddenly became so jealous of David.
Yes. But he was right in a sense, because that's treason. You can't have two kings. That's why he would have killed Shmuel as well if you didn't find out Shmuel did the one. When he found it, he got very angry. I'm the king. What do you mean he's the king? It's treason. He was right in a sense. He had a point. He wasn't totally wrong.
But he went crazy.
Yeah. Oh, would you blame him? You're the king, and they appoint another king right in front of you. That's a chutzpah. So number one, we had Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. King Solomon's son was a guy called Rehavam. Rehavam. In his time, the 10 tribes split. They said, Rehavam, your father, Shlomo, taxed us. Tremendous taxes. Why? He had to pay for his 1,000 wives. Come on, he had to build palaces everywhere. He had to build a Beit HaMikdash. He taxed the people terribly. They come to Rehavam. Are you going to raise taxes or lower taxes? So he asked his advisors, his older advisors, shall I raise taxes or lower taxes? They said, listen, you're a new king. Start off gentle. Lower the taxes. This always, every president comes along with this idea, lower taxes, right? Lower taxes. And then he went to his young advisors and they said, if you start off weak, they're going to take advantage of you. Start off strong. So he said, my father ruled you with whips, I'll rule you with scorpions. They said, goodbye. See ya. 10 tribes took off. Who did they appoint? We're going to appoint a new king, Yeravam ben Nevat. So Yeravam ben Nevat was number four, fourth king of the 10 tribes. He was the fourth king, just 10 tribes. He was the head of the Sanhedrin, a very, very learned person who was very ethical up to now. Once he became king, the power, the honor went to his head. So Yerubbaal ben Nevat, what does he do? He makes 3 golden calves.
Only 3?
He tells the Jews, no more temple. Go worship the calf. Amazing. Wow, crazy. He made them all idolaters. And whatever. So now Hashem, at the end of his life, Hashem says, do teshuva, Yerubbaal. Do teshuva, and you and me and Ben Yishai will walk together in Gan Eden. We'll travel around paradise together. We'll go together in paradise. So you know what he asked? Who's going to go first? Me or him? Who's going to walk in front? Is the king, David HaMelech, walking in front of me, or am I walking in front of David HaMelech? Hashem says, well, David HaMelech will walk in front of you. He says, I'm not doing teshuva. His honor was so, his ego was so big. His ego destroyed him. A lot of people are destroyed by the egos. It's all or nothing. If I'm not the chief, if I'm not the top, I'm not going to take part in anything. It's Korach. Korach said to Moshe, who are you? We're all holy. Everyone is holy. Why do you make yourself more holy than everyone else? So that is ego, and that's what we're saying over here. Ego destroys a person. So this can apply physically and also spiritually. So number one, let's just recap. Kinnah, jealousy. So jealousy is a terrible, this is one of the most famous Mishnah. We have to really focus on. Let's remember these 3 things. What are the 3 things? What are the 3 worst things in the world?
Kinnah,
jealousy.
Jealousy. Desire.
And
ego.
And ego. Honor. 3 of the worst things can destroy a person internally and externally in this world and also in the next world. Terrible thing.
Excuse me,
yes.
Rabbi, in which category the evil lie follows?
The evil lie is the eye of jealousy. The person says, I'm jealous of this guy. That's he looking at them with the evil eye. I am jealous of that. He doesn't deserve it. I'm jealous. I want that. He doesn't. This person doesn't deserve it. I need it. So that's the eye of evil. Evil eye. That's called the evil eye. A person with big eyes. Always looking at people. Where do you get that from? I like that. How do you find it? Where do you find it? How do you find it? How do you get it? Where do I get it? How do I get something like that? Okay, you want to get something like it? No problem. But you want to get that one? That's the problem. That is forbidden. That's coveting. So everyone wants what other people have. But if Hashem is in control, Hashem gave him that thing. He didn't give you that thing. That means he deserves it. You don't deserve it. Or he needs it. You don't need it. If Hashem wants you to have it, he'll have you. He'll get something better. Don't worry. If Hashem wants you to have it, he'll also have it. So a person doesn't believe in God, obviously he's jealous of other people. But if you believe in God, God has a plan for everyone. If God has a plan for everyone, I also have a plan. So what's my plan? You've got to find out your plan. What's your plan? What's my plan? Hashem, what's my plan? Ask for guidance. Hashem gives guidance to people. If you ask for guidance, you'll get guidance. It's amazing how Hashem gives guidance. I've seen it in my life. Hashem gives you the signpost. If you're looking for guidance, Hashem provides you guidance. If you're not looking for guidance, just leaves you. This week's parasha. One of the curses in the parasha. You know the curses in the parasha? One of the curses is, Im telchu iti bakeri, if you walk with me by chance. Afani elechem achem bakeri, I'll also walk with you by chance. If you think life is chance, I'll make your life chance. If you're not looking for guidance, you just want to live your life by chance, Hashem says, I'll give you a chance. If you walk with me bakeri, we already had Kerry, John Kerry. Was that? I think he was the curse. He was the one.
Well, we had
a Yeah, same thing, similar. So this idea, the chance, a person's life is governed by chance. That's a very bad way of thinking. We don't believe in chance. We don't believe anything is chance. We believe there's a God in the world. Hashem is in control. Hashem is guiding our lives. If we're looking for guidance, you'll get guidance. If you don't look for guidance, don't get. A person always going to say, Hashem, please guide me in the right way. Whenever my father saw me, he gave me a bracha, he said, Hashem should guide you in the right way. Hashem can guide you in the right way, and Hashem did guide me in the right way. But Hashem always guide in the right way. But a person should look for guidance. And same thing, a person should look for guidance from the parents. Who knows more, the child or the parents? I really respect my cousin. You know why? He used to go to his father. I used to watch this. Daddy says, can you give me advice? How many kids go and ask their parents for advice? Daddy can give me advice. Mommy can give me advice. That's such a beautiful trait. It's a trait of humility. It's the opposite of pride. Most kids are proud. I know more than... Who's my father? What does my father know about these things? Nothing. My mother? Nothing. My grandma? Forget about it. I know more than everyone else. Okay. See what a mess they make of their lives. They don't ask their parents. So it's important to understand, and that's why it's important to respect the elderly. Because the elderly have the experiences that we don't have. and you can go and ask them for advice. It's very important to ask people for advice. Marbe etza, marbe chayim. Yeah, more advice you get, the more wisdom, the more life you get. Imagine. There was three people, three men, who got a very bad prognosis from the doctor. The doctor says, going to die in 2 weeks. By the way, you get a doctor say that, never go to that doctor again. The other joke is, let me finish this joke. Okay, got so many jokes. The first joke is, okay, so the doctor says you got 3 weeks to live. So the first one's a Frenchman. Frenchman. 2 weeks to go. Let me enjoy the world. We go enjoy. He goes crazy. He can't even tell you what he did. He's crazy. The Scotsman takes out his pile of money. Now I can spend my money. I have 2 weeks left. And the Jew, he goes for a second opinion. So that's interesting. Okay. So who? Okay. Fatava. So three different traits. We got to remember this. Always remember this. Three of the worst traits: jealousy, desire, and ego. Honor. Yeah, ego, honor. Jealousy, desire, and honor. Three worst traits. But it's going to destroy these traits. And you'll see, people who are successful in life, unfortunately, it goes to their heads. Sometimes it goes to their heads, and the ego affects them. And then,
what happened to
Shaul Melech? Yeah, and it affects them and destroys them. It destroys them. That's the trouble. It destroys them. I've seen it. People lose their jobs because of their ego. They're very good at something, but people can't stand them anymore because they're such big heads. They can't stand them. So they destroy themselves by the ego. So this is a very important saying. This is by Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. What is a kapar? What is a kapar? It's with a kuf. I think he was a roofer. I think he was a roofer or... Okay. Who are you, Omer? And again, he says something very interesting.
Which one are you on?
I am on chapter 4, Mishnah 22.
It's
28. It's not 22. Oh, 28 in your book?
Yeah.
28 in your book. Every book is different.
Try to look. Work harder.
Okay. Hayilodim lamut. This is wild. The children who are born to die. What a perspective of life, can you imagine? You know, our perspectives of life are upside down. Why? Because when the child is born, we're all rejoicing. We're happy. Baby's born. Hey, baby's born. Fantastic. Baby's born. Do you know what the baby's going to do in his life? No.
No.
Is he going to be righteous or going to be evil? Don't know. What are you so happy for? When a person dies and you know he's a righteous person, that's when you rejoice. That's when people start crying. You should be right happy. Be happy.
Rabbi.
The guy lived a good life. He's a tzaddik. Hey, we're so happy. The guy was successful in his life. Yes.
Can't hear you.
What's the purpose of mitzvot? What's the purpose of mitzvot? It's to get to the level of being a tzaddik. The guy reached the level of being a tzaddik and he died. Now what do you want from him?
So that's good.
Success. So you should be lying. Why is everyone crying? So the answer is that our perspectives are upside down because we're human beings. So human beings have... So the Talmud says a very important thing. Look, think of this idea. And we've seen this with the Titanic. When do people celebrate? When the ship takes off? The brand new ship. They built a brand new ship. You know what happens? They make a big party. And they christen the ship, the British, they christen the ship, they smash a bottle of champagne, and they call the ship the Titanic, Her Majesty's Ship Titanic. Smash the cake. What happened to the Titanic? They had a big celebration. The Talmud says, don't celebrate when the ship leaves. Celebrate when the ship docks. When it arrives, and it arrives successfully, that's when you celebrate. That's the parable. So when the ship sets sail, that's the child born. The ship is just setting sail. You have no idea where the ship's going. You know what the ship's going to do. You know it's going to be successful, not being successful. When you see the end, when you see the person was successful, that's when you should celebrate. So what happens is we have to say, I'm not crying for the person, I'm crying for myself. I'm not crying because this person was successful. We're crying for ourselves because we don't have them in our lives anymore. That's what we're crying for. We're not crying for them. Some people are successful. So when you cry for the person, it means they weren't successful. So a person dies young. That's you cry for the person. The person died evil. Cry for the person. Don't cry. Sometimes you have to be happy. The guy died, he's gone. Goodbye. Baruch Hashem. Sometimes you guys say Baruch Hashem, what can I tell you? But its interesting perspective is upside down. It's upside down perspective. It's a perspective, this is a perspective of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a contrarian. You know what a contrarian is? when everyone is rejoicing, let's give an example of the stock market. Right? Everyone's rejoicing. The stock market is high. It's high. You know what's going to happen next? It's going to crash. So the contrarian says, it's high. It's high. Time to sell.
Right, exactly.
It's low. It's low. It's going down. It's going down. Time to buy. That's Judaism. Judaism says, when you see something cheap, buy it. There's nothing cheaper than mitzvot. There's nothing cheaper than what we're doing right now. This class is free, right? Maybe we should charge for it. There's nothing cheaper than mitzvot. Come to shul, right? You can pray, no charge. It's free. People don't appreciate. They don't realize. It's free, and you get the most maximum reward from it. It's such a good investment. It's a tremendously good investment. Belief in God, free. There's no charge. I believe in you, God. Imagine, you are linked to the most powerful being in the world, in the universe, and it's free. There's no charge. To try and get through to President Trump, I don't know how many times you'll have to call to be able to get through to the secretary. You'll never get through to him, but you get through to God straight away. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So it's a contrarian perspective on life. It says Rabbi Akiva is the biggest contrarian. Why? The temple is destroyed. The Beit HaMikdash is in ruins. All the rabbis go to visit and they see coming out from the Holy of Holies a fox. The rabbis are broke down in tears. Today you go see the same thing. Fox come over in the Holy of Holies. You see where they are going over there. The people over there. They're playing soccer over there. And you go and see and you cry. And Rabbi Akiva is laughing. Akiva, you're mad? Temple is destroyed. Where it's in ruins and you're laughing. He said, I'm laughing because I'm looking for the future. When the temple was standing, I was worried. Why? Because I know it's going to be destroyed. But now it's being destroyed. Now I can look forward to the rebuilding of the temple. So when you see a child, look at this. This is wild. You see a child, don't think about the child's birth and you're happy. Think about what it's going to accomplish in life and where it's going to go. And when you're at a funeral, be happy. Why? Look forward to the redemption and the revival of the dead. Look forward to the revival of the dead. We don't bury someone, we plant them. We're not going to a burial, we're going to a funeral, we're going to a planting ceremony. You're planting the person to be reborn. So look at this amazing contrarian advice. The person who's born is going to die. There's a famous Rabbi Riskin in Israel. And he had to go visit someone who had cancer, terminally ill cancer, a terminal ward. Over here in Rab Uwed, I think it's the third floor of the new building, it's the cancer section, where people have very bad cancer. And usually it's terminal. The person requires a bone marrow transplant, you know, already not many people survive. So he's going there, he's very depressed. The rabbi's very depressed. He's going to visit the person. He knows no hope for this person. Very depressed. And then he sees a person walking through it who he recognizes. One of his members of his shul, a professor, a doctor in the ward. He sees him, happy, smiling.
He's sick.
Who?
He sees
the doctor. He sees the doctor, he's smiling.
Oh.
He says, doctor, how can you be smiling? You're working in a ward where everyone's terminal. So he looks at the rabbi as if he doesn't understand the rabbi. Where are you coming from? He says, all of us are terminal. We're all terminal.
Right.
Everyone has an expiration date. As Dr. Abud used to say, everyone is born with an expiration date. So that's the perspective of life. Our lives are limited. That's what we do with our lives. You know, the person shouldn't think, unfortunately, the perspective, Yetzirah tells us, you're going to live forever. Nothing's going to happen to you. You watch, nothing's going to happen to you. It's a very good perspective, right? But you know what? People say, if so, then I can delay. I'll learn Torah later on. I'll do mitzvot later on. Let me enjoy life first. I'm so young. You know, some people tell their kids that. You're still young, enjoy life. What are you talking about? What a horrible perspective of life. And that's what we're saying over here. Don't enjoy life. Enjoy life by doing good deeds. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Because hayelodim lamut. That's what he says. We don't know how long a person is going to live. We don't have no idea, and therefore make the most maximum use of your life. And then he says, "Vametim le'achayut." And person who dies, he's going to get up again. So don't be. It's total opposite way of perspective life. Perspective of life is totally opposite of what we think, because we're raised in this Western culture, which is totally the opposite of Torah values. Torah values is you're born, you have a mission. If your mission is not accomplished, worry. Start worrying. Worry about fulfilling your mission. What is your mission? So a Jew is born. What do we do when a child's born? What do you tell them? Zeh katan gadol yeh. Keshem sheniklas lebrit, kach yikanes letorah, chupa almasim tovim. Three purposes in life. As soon as a child's born, we talk about his three purposes. Amazing. We already have it programmed for the child. The child is a child's only 8 days old, doesn't remember what they're talking about. You have to keep on drumming into the child. You have three purposes. As soon as you are born, 8 days old, we gave you a name and we said you have three purposes in life. What are your three purposes in life? Torah, chupa, almasim, tovim. Three things to do. Where are you on that scale? Have you done all three? Have you done Torah? You know the whole of Shas? I don't know my whole of Shas. That's why I need to retire to go and learn the whole of Shas. You just go learn. You have to learn. We have to learn all the time. Torah, chupa. Get married. Marriage is very critical to Judaism. You see today, too many singles. It breaks my heart. And break everyone's heart. Because why don't the singles just get married? It's so easy, right? It's so easy, right?
To get married?
Yeah, it's very easy. All you need is a ring and a chuppah and it's over. That's it. 2 witnesses. And so, Torah chuppah, ma'asim tovim. Good deeds. Good deeds, good deeds, good deeds. Three things. Three purposes of life. So let's sum up life. Very simple. Judaism is a simple religion. Not really, but it's simple. It's simple because we have three things to do in life. What are the three things to do? Torah, chuppah, ma'asim tovim. Three things, three goals. Everyone should have these three goals. And don't say tomorrow. Why? We don't know. We don't know when the expiration date is. We don't know. So we've got to try our best. Three things. Amitim lechayot. And we believe, Baruch Atah Hashem, mechayem mitim. We believe that the dead will be revived. Amazing. So don't cry too much. That's why in Judaism, one of the first things the Torah does is abolishes ripping one's flesh. You know, I take it for granted today. You know, we don't rip our flesh. Someone passes away, we don't rip our flesh. We know the Shiite Muslims, they still rip their flesh. You know that? You go on the death of their Rebbe. Who was their Rebbe? Ali. On the day of his death, they ripped their flesh. You see pictures. They're cutting themselves with knives. But that was the old custom. The pagan custom was, someone dies, you rip your flesh. That's a sign of mourning because part of me is cut. I can understand the concept. The concept is understood. So it says, don't rip your flesh. Why? This relative died, but your father in heaven is still alive.
Right. Bhutan.
Bhutan. Let me just tell you what they do. So you just told me this morning. Guess what
Where
they
is
do?
Bhutan?
Don't ask me, I don't know. It's near India somewhere. It's in the Himalayas. Okay. So it's meant to be one of the happiest places in the world. Okay, let me tell you what they do. They get a 3 to 6 year old girl, something like that, and they put her on a throne and everyone bows down to her.
Queen?
She becomes the god. Forget about queen. She's the god. She's the god. They're pagans. They're people.
Yeah.
They put her on the throne. Right. They bow down to her. Bow down to her. Until she gets to the age of?
17.
Puberty. She gets to the age of puberty. She retires. She goes back to school. She's a god for 6 years and then she goes back to school. Such a wild. I'm just saying. So thank God we're Jewish. And thank God we rejected all this paganism. Thank God we rejected this paganism.
Our own
mishugas. Okay. Listen, not mishugas. We have to understand there's three things we have to do. That's
right.
It. Three things we have to do. Torah, chuppah, ma'asim tovim. So it's the opposite way of looking at life. Hachayim ladun. Okay, so a person's alive, we have watch what a person does. We have to be in control of what we're doing. That's what we're saying. Let's just recap because we're going to finish soon. This is a talk before Shavuot. This is a pre-Shavuot talk. Which is good. It ties in very nicely to the Ten Commandments. Because this is really the bottom line of the Ten Commandments. These three things are the bottom line of the Ten Commandments. Jealousy, we talked about, is number 10. But it feeds into the last five. Right? Don't steal. Why would a person steal? Because they're jealous. I desire something I don't have. Steal. He doesn't deserve it. I deserve it. Take it from him. So stealing. Adultery. same thing. This guy doesn't deserve his wife. She's so beautiful. He doesn't deserve her. I deserve her. So all these things are based on the murder, also based on desire, ego.
Ego.
Ego. Why did Cain kill Hevel? Why did Cain kill Hevel?
Ego.
Ego. His korban was accepted, and my korban was not accepted. Who does he think he is? Why is he so special? Who does he think he is? He killed his brother. So all the Ten Commandments are based, these last five between man and man, is based on these three terrible things. And so it's a good before, it's a pre-Shavuot talk. It's how to keep the Ten Commandments. Keep away from these three things. Kina, Tava, V'Kavod. Jealousy, desire, and ego. Thank you. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.